This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Lashing the Florida Panhandle. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Marcy Norton, who's in for Jennifer Koschenka, on this Friday, September 2. Welcome aboard, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Hurricane Hermine reached land earlier this morning and then was downgraded to a tropical storm. But Gulf Coast residents are still bracing for a massive storm surge, and the warnings are dire.
Another night of protests in sports. 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick refused to stand for the national anthem again, and others joined him.
A new batch of Hillary Clinton emails show more blurred lines between the State Department and the Clinton Foundation.
And the hotels and resorts that cater to parents who are returning to places they vacationed as kids.
So a lot of people, instead of, you know, going someplace new for vacation, they're going someplace that they've been before or maybe that they went as a kid and are just trying to recreate those memories.
Market Watch reporter Jillian Berman has a story about the nostalgia vacation. She's here in about 20 minutes. Hurricane Hermine has made landfall this morning east of St. Marks, Florida, on the eastern panhandle, but it was downgraded to a tropical storm after moving further inland. Residents took shelter last night as the big storm approached Apalachee Bay. One report said more than 125,000 people lost power. Some counties issued evacuation notices for Gulf Coast communities. Governor Rick Scott warned people Hermine would be life-threatening, especially because of storm surge.
The storm surge, you know, as much as 12 feet in a couple of our counties. We're going to have up to 20 inches of rain. We're going to have power outages. We're going to have flooding. Everybody's got to take this seriously.
Hermine had maximum sustained winds reaching 80 miles an hour. The National Hurricane Center says the storm will eventually move across the rest of the eastern Florida panhandle into southeastern Georgia early this morning, then move near or over eastern South Carolina tonight. By tomorrow, it'll be in eastern North Carolina. Hermine, by the way, first hurricane to make landfall in Florida since Wilma 11 years ago. In Panama City, by the way, a popular tourist spot on the panhandle, organizers were forced to cancel the music festival known as the Gulf Coast Jam. 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick once again did not stand during the national anthem, and fans were ready. His team played in San Diego last night, and while virtually all of the fans inside Qualcomm Stadium stood at attention as a giant field flag was unfurled and a sailor performed the national anthem, Kaepernick stood too. But just moments before the Star-Spangled Banner was sung, he dropped to a knee in protest. He was joined by teammate Eric Reed, a safety. Fans booed again when Kaepernick took to the field, and they booed him before every snap.
Well, I think it's a misunderstanding. You know, the media painted this as anti-American, anti-men and women of the military, and that's not the case at all.
He did, however, stand and applaud during a moment of appreciation for service members and veterans. He did the same for a singing of God Bless America later in the game. Meanwhile, Seattle Seahawks cornerback Jeremy Lane also appeared to sit for the national anthem during his team's game against the Raiders. At my game, all members of the Giants and Patriots were standing at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey during the national anthem. A new batch of Hillary Clinton emails has been released. The Wall Street Journal says ones made public yesterday by a watchdog group include an exchange from July 2009 involving Clinton Foundation official Douglas Band, in which he asks Mrs. Clinton's senior deputy, Huma Abedin, for diplomatic passports for himself and two others, saying theirs had lapsed. Ms. Abedin wrote back, "Okay, and we'll figure it out." More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Officials yesterday claimed the passports were tied to a humanitarian mission, former President Bill Clinton's trip to North Korea to help free captive journalists. The passports were never granted. Instead, the North Koreans agreed not to stamp the passports of those traveling. A bunch of emails released last month show the same Mr. Ban seeking a meeting between Mrs. Clinton and the Crown Prince of Bahrain, calling him a good friend. Bahrain has donated upwards of $100,000 to the foundation. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Critics have said such contacts demonstrate how the Clinton Foundation enjoyed special access to the highest reaches of the State Department during Mrs. Clinton's watch, a sort of pay for play. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Network's advanced firewall solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to a state that's one of America's top 10 for business, where 2,000 burdensome regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years and is now home to the sixth best entrepreneurial climate. All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice for your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Again, that's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Thanks for spending time with us. Good Friday to you. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has to choose his words carefully about the economy when visiting certain Republican swing states. Here's why. While he likes to paint the picture of a national economy in crisis, many of the states that will determine if he wins or loses are doing distinctly well. It's a story from Wall Street Journal global economics editor Neil King. Neil, what's up?
You know, 4 years ago, we saw Mitt Romney fall into a similar bind where he was making the rounds, running against Barack Obama, talking down the economy, saying it had real faults, that it was still staggering, wasn't doing well. But he was doing that mainly in states like Virginia, Colorado, Ohio, Florida, where the economies, for one, were actually doing pretty well. And in a number of those states, the Republican governors at that time in Virginia and in Ohio very distinctly were talking up the state of their economy. So at the moment, we see a very similar scenario playing out where Donald Trump is going to the same states, using much more apocalyptic language about the state of the national economy, but also talking about, you know, wastelands and disaster areas and the Rust Belt in a total state of collapse. And you have governors like John Kasich in Ohio, of course, telling a very different story about the state of their economy. In particular, in the last week, Trump kind of ran into a bit of a wall in Michigan, where he had gone the week before in Michigan and talked about what a disaster area the manufacturing sector was there. And then Rick Snyder, the Republican governor, came forward a few days later and said, wait a minute, I totally disagree. You have it all wrong. And Michigan is the number one in the creation of manufacturing jobs over the last few years, said Snyder. And he was actually right. Michigan has had some real problems. Of course, the recession totally battered the auto sector. Manufacturing jobs really plunged there, but they have come back sharply. And over that span, Michigan has actually led the nation in the creation of manufacturing jobs.
Wow. All right. So are there other governors pushing back as well publicly like that?
Well, one of the other interesting moments is a little bit earlier this month, where Trump went down to North Carolina, and preceding him on the stage, Governor McCrory, the Republican governor of North Carolina, went out and talked about how well things were going and how his state was fourth overall in economic growth. And then a little while later, Trump went on the stage and talked about how businesses were dying and had a quote saying, right now, as you stand here, you think you have great jobs, but companies are negotiating to move to Mexico and other places. So it's this clash that in a weird way really resembles a similar kind of problem that that we saw last time around with Romney. The funny thing this time is that Trump has actually been at least somewhat nuanced in that when he's gone to some states, like he was just in Iowa over the weekend, and Iowa has, I think, like fourth or fifth lowest unemployment rate, basically full employment, going gangbuster. The agricultural economy at the moment is really super strong. And there he had a lot of things to say, you know, that were bad about the national economy, but also made sure to point out, as did the other speakers on the stage with him, like the governor and the senators from that state and so on, this how the state itself was doing well.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal global economics editor Neil King about his piece called Donald Trump's Bind in Swing States, GOP Governors Are Touting Turnarounds. So as a presidential candidate, how does Mr. Trump manage that?
Well, he just tends to sort of barrel forward and say what he will say. And he, you know, he has a propensity, not just on the economic front, but in a bunch of other fronts, of talking in very stark terms. So his portrayal, particularly when he's in places like Pennsylvania or Ohio, of what he sees to be the devastated fortunes of sort of working class people, people that had once worked in the steel mills and so on, is always pretty strong. And sometimes it just clashes in weird ways. I mean, this was a while ago now. He went to Pittsburgh, which, if you've been in Pittsburgh lately, you will know is a pretty much of a boom town and a place that has recovered quite sharply and has moved on very distinctly from its old steel-making days. And, you know, he was there acting as if what Pittsburgh really needed was revival of the steel industry there, which I don't think a lot of people would necessarily agree with.
All right. Thanks, Neil. It's Wall Street Journal Global Economics Editor Neil King. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you could follow me directly too, @GordonDeal. It is 19 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Marcy Norton is here. She has more of America's First News.
The National Weather Service says Tropical Storm Hermine made landfall in Florida early this morning, battering the Sunshine State with sustained winds of around 80 miles an hour. It was downgraded from hurricane status shortly after, but it's still dangerous, and thousands are without power, hundreds of thousands even. The service says Hermine is weakening as it moves into southern Georgia and is expected to drench the Carolinas later today. Samsung is recalling the Galaxy Note 7, its newest handset, after reports the phone has been catching fire while charging. Samsung says it found a problem with the battery in some of the phones, and it will replace 2.5 million Galaxy Note 7s with a new product. Brock Turner gets out of jail today after serving half of a 6-month sentence for raping an unconscious woman. Her victim impact statement went viral, causing a firestorm of criticism surrounding Turner, a former Stanford University swimmer, and the judge who issued the light sentence. Santa Clara County Jail spokesman Lieutenant James Jensen says they're preparing for possible protests.
Sheriff's going to be there to make sure that everything's run smoothly. This is a high priority case, high media. Wants to make sure that things are run appropriately and that make sure there is no special treatment for Brock Turner, because he doesn't deserve special treatment.
Turner's 21. He will have to register as a sex offender for the rest of his life. Russian President Vladimir Putin says he has no idea who hacked U.S. Democratic Party organizations, but he says the information that hackers released was important. He denies that the Russian government was involved. The hacked emails appeared to show the party favored Hillary Clinton over challenger Bernie Sanders. That ended with the resignation of party chairman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Ladies, here is why you make sure you clean out your purse. A woman in Ireland got tired of carrying her overloaded handbag. She dumped it out and found a lottery ticket that turned out to be worth the equivalent of about $155,000. Drinks are on her this weekend.
Come on.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks old. She said there were a few of them. She brought them in and scanned them, and voila.
She wasn't even checking.
You don't, because you figure, it's not going to be me.
Man. It's at the bottom of your purse if we dumped it out. Would you find
something
lucky like that?
I'm going to go check.
Worth exploring, right? Thank you, Mars. It's 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. An estimated 60% of us have taken our families on vacations that reminded us of our childhood. That's according to a survey from the travel website Priceline.com. MarketWatch reporter Jillian Berman finds that hotels and resorts eagerly oblige parents who return with their families. Jillian, why are so many of us returning?
It's hard to say exactly, but for some people, you know, there's sort of a risk factor, right? You know, you had a good time here. And so if you're spending a lot of money on a vacation, then you can be sure that it's money well spent. And then, you know, a lot of people with kids, they want to show their kids the places where they went when they were younger and sort of watch them do the same things that they did as a kid.
Yeah. I recently tried to do that with my kids just for like a day or two.
Yeah.
It went over kind of okay, I think. That's about the best I could describe it. So, but who's catering to this? There are some places catering to that?
Yeah, there There are, and I would say they're mostly in, you know, sort of your summer beach towns or your classic summer getaway places. So I spoke to some people who went to a resort in the Catskills, which, you know, the Catskills is a classic mid-century vacation destination. You know, some people in beach towns, you know, going to old motels or hotels that have been around for a long time.
All right, so like, I don't know, what could you do from, what would that be, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I guess, for some people?
Yeah, so, you know, some of the activities were, you know, sort of those classic vacation activities like mini golf or, you know, at the Catskills, they really have kind of a, you know, an intense schedule that includes things like bingo and sort of these pony races and stuff like that that, you know, really can take you back.
Mm. All right, so you mentioned, too, like a lot of these hotels try to lock in those repeat guests by, I don't know, paying close attention to what they like and do, I guess, right? How does that work?
Yeah, so now with more technology, even, you know, sort of larger hotels can really know about guests' preferences. So, you know, some experts I spoke to cited hotels that will send people birthday cards or, you know, if they remember that you liked, you know, a certain room or a certain spot in the dining hall or things like that, they can make sure that the next year you get it. And one thing that they do is a lot of these places will ask guests to book their next year's trip as they check out.
Oh, right. We're speaking with Market Watch reporter Jillian Berman. Her story is called The Nostalgia Vacation. I thought it was interesting, the one woman you wrote about who vacations in Cape May, New Jersey, and she said she just remembers the smell of that hotel, and it just brings her back.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was really striking to me. I actually, the way that I came up with the idea for this piece was last week I was on vacation someplace that I had vacationed as a kid. And, you know, when you go to those places, you just, there are certain smells or little, you know, just little things. And as soon as you, or even noises, things like that. And as soon as you walk into the room, suddenly you're taken back.
Yeah. Or I guess as part of that, she said, listen, we went to Costa Rica, loved it.
Yeah.
However, this is home or this is what they prefer?
Most families who are going on vacations, they're not just taking one a year. So they'll still, you know, some will still do, like she said, she went to Costa Rica. Some will still do the more exotic or luxurious vacation. But, you know, she was saying that this place in Cape May, they think about it every year. You know, this is something that her kids look forward to. They ask about, and it kind of, you know, has a nice buildup that maybe going someplace that you've never been before doesn't quite have.
Thanks, Jillian. That's Market Watch reporter Jillian Berman. By the way, if you like small business stories or perhaps are looking for free tips on managing your small business or startup, check out the Small Business Report, available on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on places like iTunes and SoundCloud. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office are never convenient, so why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Here's how Stamps.com works. Using your own computer and printer, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in a mailbox. It's that easy. Currently, over 600,000 small businesses are using Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A four-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com today. Go to Stamps.com. Then before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Then enter the code Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, September 2. Gordon Deal with Marcy Norton, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Ermine made landfall on the Florida Panhandle. Kaepernick refuses to stand for the national anthem again. He's also apparently been wearing socks at practice that bear the image of police as cartoon pigs. Samsung today announced it's stopping sales of the Galaxy Note 7 smartphone after some batteries caught fire. Global recall is underway. Police in New York City say a cab driver repeatedly whipped a passenger with his belt when she left the car without paying. and a second skin removal surgery for the guy formerly known as the world's fattest man, who's down 650 pounds. Well, it's never too early in the day to talk about hot dogs. Apparently, there's going to be an attempt at a Guinness World Record in New York City today. At Grand Central Station, Nathan's Famous is going to try to set a record for the most hot dogs in a line to mark their 100th anniversary, spelling out the numbers 100 and the year 1916, the year the company started. Professional eating superstar Joey Chestnut is hosting it. This past 4th of July, he won his 9th hot dog eating contest on Coney Island. He's with us live this morning. Joey, most of us are sipping coffee this hour. You're lining up hot dogs. Explain what you're up to.
Oh yeah, we're breaking a record that was set in Tokyo in 2014, and we're going to be lining up 1916 hot dogs, and they're trusting me to put the last one down if I don't eat it first.
Will it be hard to keep it away from your mouth?
You know, I'm sure they're going to have some extras because they just go down so easy for me.
That's funny. Have you ever, or do you eat hot dogs casually, like outside of an eating contest of some kind?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I do so well with the Nathan's hot dogs. I enjoy eating them. If I didn't enjoy them, I wouldn't be able to eat so many. The contests where I'm not familiar or where I don't like the food as much, I'm definitely not going to do as well. And I think my record shows that I like them.
So that said, then, which are the food contests you enter, yet you kind of hold your nose at the food itself?
Oh, my God. I was in Korea, and I did kimchi, which is pretty much fermented vegetables and really spicy. Right. It was rough. They were so spicy, my sweat was, like, burning when it was coming out of my pores.
Ooh.
It was later that day. It was a rough contest. I don't think I'll ever eat that again.
Yeah, I don't think I want it.
I did soba noodles when I was in Japan, and it was just really weird eating cold noodles. But I love eating food I'm familiar with, like hot dogs, hamburgers, pizza. The other day I did ribs, and
goodness,
definitely the food I like is easier to eat.
Did you win that kimchi contest, by the way?
I did not.
Right.
It was a military tour, and the chef on the military base beat me.
What are your cholesterol levels like? You eat a lot of this stuff, I think, that we're only supposed to eat in moderation. You eat it by the bucket full, it seems.
Well, I do the contest in moderation, too. But my doctor's actually really happy with cholesterol, all my liver, kidney functions, and my blood work. I got it done after the 4th of July, and everything's going really, really good.
Wow.
I'm excited. I'm doing the best I ever have, and I'm healthier than I ever have been.
Do you find that you do have to make an extra effort when it comes to, I don't know, exercise or water, or making sure you eat plenty of decent food after say one of these contests?
Oh my God, absolutely. Yeah, well, yeah. My weight used to fluctuate like crazy, just because I would do the practices, and then I'd start getting heavier, and then during the off season I'd have to lose all the weight. But I've gotten better about doing contests and eating healthier right afterwards, and trying not to do too many contests during the summer, because it all calories in and calories out.
Yeah.
I just need to make sure that my long term calorie intake is not too high.
Right. We're speaking live this morning with professional eating superstar Joey Chestnut. You know him as the 9-time champion of the Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest, July 4th in Coney Island, New York. How long do those burps last, by the way, after the hot dog contests?
Oh, I get burps and hiccups for about an hour, and then the food settles so far inside of me, then I just want to take a nap. And I just wake up, either I'm thirsty or I'm rolling over or some other crazy reason. But usually about an hour and a half, those burps, there's like little bubbles coming up.
Right. What are the best toppings, I guess, when you're not eating in a contest? It's what you just kind of soak the buns in water, right? But if you have your choice, what are your toppings?
When I have my choice, I'll put anything on a hot dog. From bacon to cheese to I love a good coleslaw on a hot dog.
Wow.
with mustard, and that actually tastes really good with the all beef hot dog.
I don't know if they're Nathan's or not, but how about what those of us in the New York City region call the dirty water dogs on the streets of, say, Manhattan?
Oh, my God. I don't know about those. Those are rough. Those ones, I think, usually, I think anybody will get some nasty burps with those. But I'm all about the flat top grilled hot dogs, all beef.
Very good. Hey, listen, enjoy the time today at Grand Central Station. Good luck trying to set a record for the most hot dogs in a line, partnering with Nathan's Famous today. The company you know from the famous hot dog eating contest on July 4 in Coney Island. Joey Chestnut with us live this morning. 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Pleasure with us. Good Friday to you. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, here's a story that will send shudders up the spines of the world's elite swimmers. Michael Phelps' fiance thinks that there's a chance that he will return for the 2020 Summer Games in Tokyo. Phelps has said over and over again that he is done with swimming professionally after 5 Olympic Games and 23 gold medals, but in an interview with Cosmopolitan, Nicole Johnson said that the couple's 3-month-old son, Boomer, could inspire Phelps to get back in the pool so that Boomer could see his dad win some more hardware. Yeah, I know. And for what it's worth, Ryan Lochte Gordon has also weighed in on the prospect of having Phelps back in the Olympics. Lochte told NBC that he guarantees that Phelps will be there in Tokyo.
Wow.
And as you know, Lochte never ever lies to NBC.
No. Everything that comes out of Lochte's mouth is right. Pure gold.
So mark it down.
There was a funny meme, by the way. I don't know if I saw it on Twitter, which had a picture of Lochte kind of smiling and winking in the pool, pointing at somebody.
Yeah.
Almost like, hey, we did it or something like that.
Yeah.
But it said something like, thanks, Colin Kaepernick, you know, for sort of stealing attention away
yes.
from him.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. He can kind of lay low now, it looks like, for a little while.
Phelps, no. Can't, no.
I don't know. See, that the scary part for me, if I was him, you know, the scary, and I don't know anything about being an elite athlete, but going there and then not doing well would be the fear, right?
Yes.
I mean, getting there, I mean, you'd have to do, I guess, pretty well just to get there in the first place. He still has to qualify and all that, but getting there and then, you know, maybe sort of ruining that legacy would be the fear of mine, I would
He'd
think.
He'd be 35, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I think he's 31 now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, positively ancient
Holy
by swimming standards.
Smokes. That'd be something. I don't think you can use the child motivation again, because I think he already used it this time.
Right.
I don't think you bring it back.
Right.
He's already motivated, I think, by his child.
Yeah, you know what? When you've been there 5 that. Times going for a 6th time, use any motivation you can get, I guess. You just got to dream up motivation, right?
There's going to be a Phelps rule. Okay,
yeah.
No swimmers older than 32 are allowed to compete or something like that.
Exactly. And, Gordon, because we could always use something to make us feel good about this world, we have this. A YouTube video has been making the social media rounds, featuring a baby with what can only be described as an evil laugh.
Whoa. You made that up. That's not real.
That is.
That's
now it's
real?
Not, that's not. Now, it's not all one continuous
no,
laugh.
I understand.
It's sort of a montage of, you know, a few seconds here, a few seconds there. But it's titled, I'm Raising My Girl to Be an Evil Genius. It was uploaded to YouTube around a week ago, and it's been viewed already more than 300,000 times. Including at least 5 views by me this morning. Maybe more when I get out of here.
Nice. I'll have to check it out myself. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at dell.com/radio. Hey, thanks for being with us. Good Friday morning to you. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Marcy Norton is back. She has more of America's First News.
Hundreds of thousands of Floridians are without power after Hurricane Hermine made landfall early this morning. It was downgraded to tropical storm status shortly after, but it still packs a punch, and residents are threatened by the coming storm surge, which could be up to 9 feet above normal. The National Weather Service says the storm is moving toward Georgia and should reach the Carolinas later today. There are tropical storm warnings for the Delaware Bay in effect, as Hermine is expected to move up the mid-Atlantic states tomorrow. Monday morning quarterbacking is underway at SpaceX after the commercial space company lost its Falcon 9 rocket in a fiery explosion at Cape Canaveral yesterday. Here's 45th Space Wing spokesperson Brian Pertell.
There was a significant explosion on pad 40, which is one of our launch pads at the Cape, and our emergency management teams are continuing to respond to evacuate the Cape and to contain the results of this explosion.
That statement made, of course, shortly after the explosion. Nobody was hurt, but also destroyed in the blast, a satellite that Facebook was going to use to bring internet access to Africa. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg says his company will continue to look for ways to provide connectivity to underserved areas. Melania Trump is suing a British newspaper and an American blogger for $150 million. They alleged she was a sex worker in the 90s. The Daily Mail suggested Mrs. Trump may have worked as a part-time escort, and that's how she met her husband, Donald Trump. Both the blogger and the Daily Mail have retracted those stories. UPS raising its rates starting later this month. It'll cost an average of 5% more to ship a package through UPS Freight Service. Daily rates for ground and air service will go up just after Christmas. And I'm going to try not to giggle through this story because it's just so silly. This guy in Wisconsin's 21, decided to see how closely his parents looked at their family photos in the house. So he started replacing them one at a time with pictures of actor Steve Buscemi. His father figured it out 2 days later, but it took his mom 5 days to notice that her relatives had changed.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny. Good story. Good
story. Too much time on your hands.
I'm not much of a movie person, and my attention span is so poor that I often forget the movies immediately when I leave the theater. But whenever I think of Steve Buscemi, I think Fargo.
Absolutely.
The first thing
and
that comes to mind.
And he's just got that face.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Funny story. Thank you, Marcy. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Well, with thoughts of Hurricane Hermine, which is now a tropical storm, as she lasers the Florida panhandle, a new study suggests people prepare differently for hurricanes depending on whether the storm has a male or female name. In other words, researchers suggest a hurricane named Priscilla probably wouldn't be taken as seriously as a hurricane named Bruno, which might spark more fear and prompt more people to flee. Researchers backed up their claims with death rates from U.S. hurricanes from 1950 to 2012. They also conducted experiments on how people would react to hypothetical male and female hurricanes. The study suggests that changing a severe hurricane's name from Charlie to Eloise could nearly triple its death toll. Critics, though, say it's probably a statistical fluke. Jeff Lazo of the National Center for Atmospheric Research told CNN that all hurricanes had female names until 1979, meaning the study included 29 years without male hurricane names. That'll do it for this hour. For Marcy Norton, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Hey, thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.